Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leanne.
For those who care to join us, let's open with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices a spiritual foundation of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. And this is the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step 11, that's sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And I'll be reading the first paragraph, which is on page 85, that we're going to be discussing tonight. And then our panel will share a few minutes on the reading. And tonight we have Laura and Kenny, and they're going to be sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us tonight as we go through reading these paragraphs. So we're going to start on 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could have we done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And we're going to start with Kenny.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kenny, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Kenny.
I'm grateful to be here tonight. Just want to let you know my sobriety date, December 21st, 2007. My current home group is Freedom Big Book and Freedom 12 and 12. We meet over in sort of towards Ocean View. New home group member this year and was previously a member of Caring and Sharing over Virginia Beach. I'm a retread in this program. My I've been introduced to AA all the way back in the early 80s, but I didn't actually really get this thing until after I got locked up for some actions indirectly related to my alcoholism after my fifth DUI and a bunch of other issues that I had, and came out of there in 1997. And I stayed around the program for a number of years and stayed dry for 10 years. And never really took the action that's suggested in this program. Basically found myself not going to meetings and pretty alone, angry at the world, and decided that I deserved to have a drink again, even looking back over the mess that I had made of my life before. And I picked up a drink in 2005, and I drank as a vodka connoisseur for the first 30 days, and then from there it just went downhill, you know. And by the end of the 2.5 years, I was buying those juice drinks at 7-Eleven as soon as the doors opened in the morning on my way to work, or if I had a little bit of vodka stashed. I mean, quite literally, it had me in a matter of days. I was pretending by the end of the 30 days that I really cared what vodka I was drinking, you know. So when I finally came back, you know, they talk about alcohol is a great persuader, and I'll get to the step 11. When I finally came back, I realized that I didn't have any options left, and that probably the only one I really have was to really look at these steps and really do something about it. And I still played around it for 30 days, and I finally got called out one evening by a fellow that I had known in AA previously, and he just simply said, "Kenny, do you mean all that crap that you say in the meetings? Because you're not doing none of it from what I can see." And, you know, that was the guy that ended up helping me go through the steps. You know, I was very resentful at first of his approach to me. You know, how dare he say what I should be doing? And I was just told I'm too far away, but I'm getting this weird sound in the mic. But anyway, he helped me go through the steps. It took us about a year to go through the initial process of it, and it changed my life. You know, the program of action. This thing about prayer and meditation, I'd never really given it much thought over my life, or tried to do it, you know, by the book when I tried to do it and made it a very complicated thing. But today I know that it gets simpler and simpler as time goes on, and it truly does work. I mean, I meditated for 10 minutes today and was able to accomplish something on my computer that I've been struggling with for a week because I had so much stuff going on in my head from work. You know, it's really just that simple to quiet my mind and to stop listening to me. You know, and I think that's the biggest problem with me is I keep trying to manufacture BS and I keep buying it all day long, you know. And so the meditation gets me away from some of that stuff and just reminded me that, you know, everything that goes on in my mind isn't necessarily true. You know, when it says we retire at night, constructively review our day, when we are resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid, you know, well, those are the symptoms of my alcoholism, and I experience all of those at least for a fraction of a time during each given day. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't experience a little bit of resentment over something. I'm selfish about certainly many things. I always minimize or maximize the truth of my current situation to suit me. And I'm always afraid, at least for a minute. You know, I don't practice absolute faith in anything. So I'm going to, oh my gosh, this is going to turn out really bad. And then when I finally step back and a little bit of prayer involved with that and say, you know, maybe I don't know. Because that was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, was look another human being in the eye and say, you know, I could be wrong about everything I think I know. And that was the beginning of the steps for me, was when I said, you know what? I screwed it all up. My beliefs, my opinions, my ideas, and my attitudes are my problem. And maybe I need to let go of them all. And I asked this guy if he would help me sort it out. And he did. You know, so these are just symptoms of the things that I go through every day. And so I do have to look at them for what they are. I can't pretend that, well, I wasn't resentful today. I absolutely did not behave selfishly at all. You know, if I start doing those things, then I'm into delusional thinking again. You know, and so I don't want to live there anymore. I want to be realistic about the fact that I am going to make things a problem because they're not going my way. I don't always need to discuss things with others. You know, there are times when things get real heated with my wife or at work, and I do believe that putting things to bed that day makes a whole lot more sense than dragging it out for 3 or 4 days. But we don't always do that good either. You know, we recently had a family issue that kind of bleeds into work with my wife and my son, and it got drug out for 3 days, and it was absolute insanity. You know, and all I can do is tell you the truth today is that we don't do these things perfectly, but the point is that we ultimately know how to get to the solution and realize that, you know, if we're judging these other people harshly, in reality, I'm judging myself, because the time is going to come very quickly where I'm going to behave just like they're behaving, because I'm not capable of doing anything other than being human. So I'm going to make these mistakes. So for that portion of it, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Well, of course I am. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not going around saying, what can I do for everybody else except for me? But I do know that I do put others' needs in front of mine most of the time, including at work. But I'm still thinking about me. You know, how is this going to affect me? It's almost impossible not to. So I do the best I can with these things, but I know that the meditation works and gets me out of myself long enough to realize that I don't have to keep buying the things that I manufacture all day long. That's all I got for now. Thank you.
My name is Laura, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Laura.
Sobriety date is February 23rd, 2008. My home group is a Cornerstone group, and we meet actually here at First Presbyterian, right down the street at the church house on Colonial, Saturdays at 7 o'clock. So if you haven't checked us out, come check us out. Love is step for me. I'm also a retread, much like Kenny. I had 5 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, and was very fellowship sober, and ended up picking up a drink again, and luckily made it back after only 9 months of experimenting with trying to control and enjoy my drinking. And when I started working with the sponsor again, or kind of reviewing what happened to me and why did I think that I picked up that first drink again after being 5 years sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can tell you that one thing I didn't do very well was step 11. My relationship with God, as I understood God my first time around, was more like, please give me what I want. You know that this is the way things are supposed to be in my life, and if you please just do this, then I'll be a good girl kind of thing. And my ego was very much tied to the length of time that I had, and you know, there's not a lot of humility or surrender to the fact that I cannot control things in my life, not just what happens to me when I pick up a drink, but, you know, what happens to me when I put the drink down and everything else in my life that really affects my emotional well-being and things like that. So it was really important to me this time around to really make sure that I didn't miss anything, because I didn't want to drink again. I'm somebody that has also a plethora of DUIs under my record and a felony charge because of it, and did some jail time. And, you know, I have a lot to lose if I pick up a drink again, and, you know, if I ever get caught drinking and driving. So step 11, to me, the best analogy I've heard actually recently is, you know, if I compare trying to have a healthy relationship to somebody, another human being, honest communication is going to be the key. And without that, if I don't have open and honest communication, then my relationship is going to suffer. So it's the same as true for my relationship with God. And if I don't spend time talking to God and trying to be quiet and listen to God, then my relationship is going to suffer, and I'm not going to be able to tap into that source. And what step 11 does for me is it gives me very specific questions to ask myself, and it gives me very specific actions to take in order to keep that line of communication open. And so I would be lying to you if I said I was really good at this and I did this every single day, but I definitely do it more than I don't do it. And my first time around, I think I did it for about a week and never again. So yeah, when I ask myself these questions at night today, resentful, selfish, dishonest, and afraid, I had a sponsor that when we got to this step, I really appreciated that she took the time that for like a week or 2 weeks, we had to do this together. And on the phone, we would do the 11 step questions at night. And then in the morning, we would call each other and do the second half of it. So that just kind of got me in the habit of doing it. And when it was time to do it by myself, I knew what I was supposed to be doing. So actually, last night I did it and I was pretty good. I feel like this is my AA report card. And the only thing last night was I had a little bit of fear, but that was it. But, you know, I can, it's my spiritual barometer looking at these questions and how well I'm doing in AA. But the second part that stands out to me is the part when it says, we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection because that will diminish my usefulness to others. So I have a tendency, I'm definitely hard on other people, but I'm way more harder on myself. And when I do that, I can drift into this whole morbid reflection thing and self-pity. And if I stay there for too long, for me, somebody like me, it's pretty dangerous. And it tells me specifically, this is not here. The intention of this is not to beat myself up over things that I haven't done very well, but it's just to bring an awareness of what I'm doing and what corrective measures should be taken. So after I ask myself the questions, then it gives me, I have to ask God, I have to pray. So I ask God's forgiveness and I inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So if I did something that maybe I could have done a little bit better, then I have the opportunity to make things right, you know, the very next day if I choose to. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to continue over on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
You know, I used to think that everything that I experienced in any given day that I had to do something about, you know, even though it wasn't my business or something just I witnessed, I thought that, you know, because I saw it, it was part of my experience, I had to do something about it or form an opinion or whatever, you know. And I realized today that that's just not the case. You know, that's just an ego-feeding type of thing. My mornings in the last 8 or 10 months have been less than spiritual. I've been raising a puppy since since November, and she's a very high-strung, beautiful little puppy. But she's demanded a lot of our time. Leading up until this, where I found a lot of time to sit on my porch and relax, and do a lot of things that I don't have the time to do because my puppy has us up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, there's a lot of moving parts involved with that. So I haven't found a lot of time for Kenny, but I've also found that there's another creature that needs me, and that I, regardless of how I feel about what's going on with me, I've still got to take care of this little creature. And so I, in a different way, I'm learning something about that level of spirituality, that, you know, no matter how frustrated I get or whatever, I'm still going to take care of this animal to the best of my ability, to the point where, I mean, in the past, when I remember back in the 80s when I had a dog, it was a flea-bitten, you know, mess. You know, today I have a dog that's clean, that goes to the groomer, you know, that gets their nails polished. I mean, not polished, but ground down so they don't tear up the furniture and all those things. And sobriety is what's allowed me to do those things. You know, and so like when I look at the contrast and the way I used to take care of animals, or I'm not an animal person, it's because I was just so messed up. One of the best tools about this thing, where it talks about indecision and asking for inspiration, one of the best tools I've ever learned in my life is to be able to say, I don't know. Because I manage a business. We have 12 or 14 of us most of the time. And people come to me all the time wanting answers to things. And it's very frustrating to them when they come to me and I go, I don't know. And that's all there is to it right that moment. Because I've learned how to sit in things and just say, well, let's just see how things unfold. Because I used to think that I had to respond and react right away to everything. Well, today I don't have to do that. And I can let things go for hours, sometimes days, maybe even a week or so. Because depending on other people's perception of how urgent it is. And, you know, be there for them and try to guide people through it. But I've also learned that not everything is my responsibility. You know, people that work for me, I'm so guilty over the years of doing everything for everybody, showing them how to find things that I learned how to find, and making it a point to make everything okay all the time. You know, today I don't have to do that. Today I can let the answers come. Today I can experience the moment and say, I don't know, and that's okay with me today. You know, I'm not that control freak that I used to be, and I allow things to happen. So I don't usually freak out and think that I got to act right away, so I'm not so overly inspired that I'm doing a lot of wrong things like I used to. You know, the meditation for me, I have a daily meditation that I try to read. Sometimes the puppy doesn't allow it, but I get bits and pieces of it, and I've been studying with this fella for a number of years, and he's very fond of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he's a Franciscan priest. He's been one for about 40 years, and he heads up this thing called the Center for Action and Contemplation. And contemplation being the combination of prayer and meditation, to look at things outside of our stinking thinking. And the stinking thinking, very simply, is all or nothing. You know, everything is absolutely good or absolutely bad. Everything is right or wrong. You know, hot and cold, and there's no in-betweens. In reality, God doesn't live in those extremes, in my experience. God lives in the spaces in between all of that. You know, and us alcoholics want to say, well, that didn't go well, so it's absolutely horrible, and not really see everything else as part of it. You know, and today it's like allowing things to be more inclusive, that everything and everybody belongs just as much as I belong. Whether I, you know, when I start to place judgment on it, that's when I get a problem. So. But I think being able to say, I don't know, whether it be in the moment about making a decision, or whether it be about a political issue or a religious issue or whatever it may be, I can't make these quick judgments anymore because I just don't know. Because most of the time I'm not willing to do the research to find out the truth. And that's the truth. That's all I got.
So this part of the step 11 upon awakening, I used to overcomplicate the crap out of this, thinking like I had to have some strange routine of meditation, lighting candles and having this music and, you know, sitting in a lotus position in order to tap into this conscious contact with God. And I mean, if you want to do it that way, you can, but it's pretty clear about what it wants us to do right here, and I kind of missed that the first time around. So this is meditation, this one paragraph that we read. We looked at the definition at my home group, and I think meditation just means contemplate, which actually means thinking. I used to think, you know, I've tried all kinds of different methods of guided meditation, and where it was trying to train me to not have any thoughts at all, which is damn near impossible, unless I'm in a coma. And I've tried that, thinking like, if I could do that, if I could just train my brain to just completely shut off and only think white light, then maybe I'll have a better relationship with God. And if, you know, and that just that didn't really work very well for me. What this is asking me to do is to consider, and if I'm considering, that requires thought. So we consider our plans for the day, and before I begin, I'm supposed to ask. Again, that's pray. I have to ask God to direct my thinking, keeping it free from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And another way to say that is self-pity, rationalization, because I do that a lot, and wishful thinking, which is, you know, what leads me to self-seeking actions. And if I can do that, it's saying then I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. And then my thinking, my thought life will start to be placed on a higher plane. And hopefully, eventually, over time, my thinking will be cleared of wrong motives. Also, another way to look at, like, self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking, that's self-pity is usually for me worried about what stuff that happened in the past that I regret or didn't think that went my way. Dishonest could be things that I'm doing right now in the present to try to get my way. And self-seeking is things that I'm doing trying to get something in the future. So, my thinking looks like that 24 hours a day mostly. So I need help with that, and that's not something I can fix on my own. I can't just snap myself out of the way that I think. I have to ask God for help. And then the next paragraph, I love this when facing indecision, because when facing indecision for me, my go-to is that I have to have an answer immediately. And if I can't come up with an answer, you best believe I'm probably going to call you and 15 other people to try to get you to tell me what decision I'm supposed to make. And that doesn't work very well either, because I'm supposed to be in this step building a relationship with God and getting to the place where I don't have to rely on other human power to direct my thinking and my actions. And so if I can take the time to make this a daily practice for myself, and it says that we are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. So that's not going to be instant gratification. It wasn't for me. I had to practice this for a while. And now, it used to be a chore doing this stuff for me, but now, literally, when I wake up, the first thing that pops to my mind is, God, please help me. And it wasn't always that way. I've gone through phases where, well, in the beginning, I could barely muster together 5 minutes in the morning just to get quiet and contemplate. And over the summer, I was up to almost an hour. But then I go to extremes, and it's just like I'll do that, and then I end up late to work like 30 minutes because I'm praying and meditating, and that's not necessarily the right thing to do either. But the last part that we covered, it's a warning to be careful. It says, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. And if you're like me, I've definitely woken up in the middle of the night with some inspired thinking and thinking that this is definitely what I need to do right here. And then it tells me I might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas, and that's definitely happened to me before. But nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. So I just kind of like that. And for me, just trying to keep this stuff as simple as possible has worked for me. And that's it. Okay.
Thanks, Lord.
Okay, we're still on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with the prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
It's interesting how much we have in common, those of us that have worked the 12 steps. I think the first prayer that ever really stuck in my life was, God, please help me, I can't do this. And Laura had just mentioned that you know, God, please help. I mean, that's such a simple prayer that gets right to the point. I think I can truly say that I never pray for myself. I found that it just absolutely doesn't work. You know, give me this, give me that, or help me, help this person kind of thing. I don't go there at all. I think really it's more of I try to have an openness and just include options today that I didn't used to. You know, there's a lot more potential in my world today than there used to be, because I know today that my narrow view of things is just a very small slice of God's universe. And so I don't have any real conclusions to speak of right off the bat. You know, I read something one time about, you know, the Rubik's Cube. They said, well, if God did the Rubik's Cube, it would take 20 moves and he'd have it done, because that's the minimum amount of cubes to do it. You know, well, I don't have that kind of insight that, you know, my higher power does. So I can't presume that I know what's good for me or even what's good for you. You know, so I have to allow things to be a lot more what they are today than what I want them to be. You know, it says we're careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Well, you know, to pray for guidance is a selfish end. I need guidance, you know, I'm asking God to help me in that way. But I'm not asking for anything specific other than, you know, just hold my hand and take me through this, whatever it is. I can set goals, like I want to do $2 million in business this year, and that's the goal. And I keep, you know, telling that to myself every day that that's what I'm going to do, but I'm not praying to God to make sure that I get $2 million worth of business every year. You know, that's not how it works. I have other people that come up to me and go, how's work going for you? And I'm going, it's crazy busy. And he goes, well, I pray for prosperity for you every day. And I'm like, well, thanks a lot. You know, I appreciate it. And I'm being serious. This fella does this. And, you know, so prayer does work, you know, and it's a really cool thing. I think the biggest thing that I'm learning, because the first thing I want to do is walk into a room of people, and I want to place judgment on everybody here for whatever reason, the color of their hair, the clothes, their age, their influence, whatever. And that's human nature. And I think when I do that, I so sell myself short of relationships, because I think that's what this whole thing is about. If you're not sure what God's will is for you, it's pretty clear on, I'm not sure the page, step 8 in the 12 and 12, the first two paragraphs will pretty much describe it for you, how is the intention for us to maximize relationships with all men and women of all sorts, of all kinds, you know, and not place judgment on who they are or what their political or sexual or spiritual orientations are, what, you know, walk of life they're from, what careers they have, all those kind of things. And it's nearly impossible to do. And it's a lifelong journey. But that's part of what I do, the work that I do in my step 11, is to really allow people to be who they are. And it's an amazing thing, because I don't have to get spun up over things that I used to have really hard opinions about, you know. And you watch the news or you see comments on Facebook about one extreme or the other of how some people feel, and I guess I'm a lurker today, you know. I just kind of look and go, yeah, whatever, you know, it's really not that important to me today, because I'm not going to get all spun up. And to see people that are just so wrapped so tight about those kind of issues, it's sad for me today. You know, I don't have to come out here and prove anything to anybody, you know, and I don't have to tell you that I'm part of this or I'm some of that and this is what I do. I'm very comfortable being who I am today, and I have a wonderful place in my life. I have a great career, and it's all by the grace of God and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I just keep it real simple with me too. I don't force my hand on anybody. I'm always there available if people want to be part of my life. But, you know, I'm still working on being that lone wolf guy. You know, it's hard for me to build relationships, but I'm accepting of whoever you are. And I wasn't always that way. So that's what I got.
With this paragraph, I took it and just wrote my own version of a prayer for it. And the way I have it is, God, please show me all throughout the day what my next step is to be. Please give me what I need to take care of my problems, keep me free from self-will, and help me to be useful to others. And then I added, but if I cannot be useful, then please help me not to hurt them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I think that I'm being very useful to people because I like to fix and direct. And sometimes it's better for me to just keep my mouth shut and allow people to have their own experience. Kind of like what Kenny was saying, you know, sometimes I think that I know what's best, especially for other people. And, you know, I'm certain people have thought that about me and some of the decisions I've made in my life, and they were watching the train wreck getting ran out. They're like, don't do it. You know, but I've learned from my own personal experience and also just, you know, being around long enough to watch people live their lives. I don't think that anything happens in God's world by mistake anymore. And even if something bad happens, I think that God has a way of turning it around and making something good out of it. You know, so this whole part about selfish prayer at the end, we may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. I don't know, everybody has probably a different opinion about that, because there's some faiths that actually say it's okay to ask for yourself. But I know for me that coming from that little princess syndrome where I was always demanding God, you know, like Santa Claus, to bring me these presents in my life, that kind of prayer doesn't really work very well for me. And especially because if I don't get it, then it's just an excuse to doubt God. Or feel like he's punishing me, and I can't afford to have an attitude like that about my higher power. My God has to be much bigger than that. So, you know, when I do ask for myself, like in the morning, God help me, it's so that I can be productive. It's so I can go to work and do my job and perform to the best of my ability. You know, if I ask God to help me in my personal relationships, it's because I want to be a positive influence on the people that are in my life, and I want to, you know, grow. I just want to grow in effectiveness and understanding. And if I ask God to help me with my career and my job, it's not that, you know, I don't need a whole lot, but I would like to be self-supporting. And I'm pretty sure that God wants me to be self-supporting and not be a leech off of my family. So, you know, for me, this is just my personal view on it, is if I'm asking for things like that, I feel like that is so that I can be of use and maximum service to God and those around me. You know, but just specifically saying, you know, I've gotten away from getting real specific about what I think that I need. Like, God, it has to be this job, and it has to happen at this time, or it has to be that guy, you know, whatever. Just to be a little bit more general and kind of allow God the freedom to create the tapestry in my life. Because I definitely believe that God's idea of my future and what it's supposed to look like, I just really just said that again, what it's supposed to look like, that he has a much better plan for me than I could ever even fathom. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Still on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attended that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
My wife is in recovery too, and I actually have, I think, six people that work for me that I've been blessed with being able to hire and become part of my life. We do our own thing when it comes to the meditations and that kind of thing, but I can go to her and say, I need to go close the office door and I need some time. And we allow each other to do those kind of things. We have separate home groups and all of that stuff. But one of the things I wanted to touch base on about back into the prayer stuff, you know, from my experience, and this may seem shocking to some people, I don't know, but from my experience, my higher power, like I like what Bill calls it, the Father of Light that presides over us all. My higher power has always given me everything that I've ever asked for, in good times and bad, because it's been the things that I've focused on in my life. When I was a young man, I was the party animal, and I always wanted to have that in my life, and that's what I had. And every time I was full of fear, I just kept feeding that thing, and my higher power was always there giving me the things that I needed. So I don't believe in this contrasting, you know, heaven and hell, the devil and God and all that stuff, and that's okay. My point is that wherever I place my focus in my life, that's what comes at me, and it's like a mirror of where I'm at in my life. And so if I'm having a bad day, I can turn it into a bad week real quick, and my higher power is going to allow that. You know, if I'm having a bad moment, it can make it a bad day. And if I'm having a good time, I can turn it into that real good. And you know, I can walk into this room today, and I was very fearful when I first got here, you know, but I'm enjoying myself today, and I hope I'm not boring the heck out of you guys. But you know, when I allow the fear to subside, then it becomes a good experience. But I really believe that God has always been there for me, giving me exactly what I was asking for. And I believe that's true today, because it wasn't... the first 6 months of this year were very hectic for me, and I would love to tell you how hectic it was and you know how stressed out I was and how demanding my days were and all of that stuff, because that's what I was asking for and that's what I was getting. You know, we were in the middle of remodeling our showroom, and then business started to pick up, and it was just an overwhelming experience, and I wanted to tell you all about it. And guess what? I was having daily overwhelming experiences because that's what I was asking for. Well, I finally got to a point where it was too much, and you know, health issues involved, and you know, all of that stuff. And the miracle of all of this is I know that if I ask for different things, I get different results. And you know, through the process of this meditation and prayer and really going to the point where, God, please help me, I can't do this anymore, I managed to let go of my addiction to cigarette smoke, you know, cigarettes. So I haven't done that in 4 months. And it's only by the grace of God and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, because it opens up new doorways of things that I can allow my higher power to manipulate in my life. Not me manipulating it, but saying, I'm open to this now. What can we do? And that's how it happens. And, you know, I was just telling Dave right before the meeting is that I'm at a place where I need to plant my feet back in AA again. And, you know, it wasn't 30 days ago when I got the email to come out here. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the intention of how things start to change in our lives when we start focusing on different things. And that's what this prayer and meditation means to me, is that I shift focus and God responds. You know, when I reach out, he's always there. And it just depends on what I'm asking for at any given moment. And today, because of the 12 steps, you know, the profound alteration in our reaction to life doesn't really allow me to ask for the things that are ridiculous anymore in my life. The things that I used to want to have, you know, the sex, drugs, rock and roll, not necessarily in that order, don't apply today because I don't want those things. You know, but if I started to ask for them, guess what? They would manifest, that's for sure. You know? I mean, it's the truth. You know, so it's always going to be a give and take with me and a God of my understanding anyway. That's all I got.
And that's interesting that you brought up that concept, because I was reading something called, it's a theory called power of intention, and it's the same kind of thing where... you know, if I manifest what I visualize, and I definitely have practiced that, and I see whether it's negative, if I visualize something negative, then it manifests, and if I visualize a positive, then that will also manifest. You know, but in regards to this paragraph, I love that it is giving us the freedom to explore whatever the heck we want to. And, you know, when I first got here, I probably would have cringed at the whole idea of obtaining something from a priest, minister, or a rabbi, and being quick to see where religious people were right, because I was, I had some old ideas and was very prejudiced toward people who were religious. And And I like how it's saying to do the opposite of that and to make use of what they have to offer. And in the beginning and for years, I was not there, and that was completely okay. And later on in life, I decided that I wanted to try to open my mind up again and explore those kind of things, and I did, and I got a lot out of it. But that's not something that is a requirement, and I just love that we have room for all types of people, if you're atheist, agnostic, if whatever you're into, and the doors of AA are wide open. And I think that's just what makes us unique compared to all the other self-help organizations that are out there. And, you know, someday I would like to be able to maybe share my morning meditation with another person, but right now it's just me, my dog, and my cat. So, but I think that would be pretty cool to be able to do that. And, you know, other people go to church, and they get to do that with other people in the morning. So that's all I really have on that.
Okay. I'm going to combine these last two readings, starting, well, we'll finish up on 87 and go over to 88. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
There's a lot there. You know, there's a fine line between realizing that I'm not running the show anymore and then having a bunch of people come to me for leadership and direction. You know, that's a hard thing to kind of separate sometimes, because I have that tendency to be the control freak and have such a hard time letting responsibility go to other people and not try to be in control. But then they come to me and say, "What should I do about this? What action do you want me to take? Where do you want me to go today?" All those kind of things. And so there's a fine line. I completely realize today that when it comes to the big picture, I am not in charge. You know, I can see things that I'd like to have take place in my life today and think that I can do something about it. No matter how hard I try, it just doesn't turn out. But when I let it go, it might be 6 months down the road or 3 days, and it will come to pass. You know, it's when I stop worrying about it, start contemplating and fretting over it, and, you know, all of this excitement, the fear and the anger and the worry, the self-pity and the foolish decisions, thinking I could force my way into life, you know, and force the situation. And I run into people like that all the time at work that I sell to and interact with and provide services to. They you can see them trying to turn life to make it fit the way they want it to do. You know, well, you try to schedule an appointment with them, and, you know, you go through the whole calendar, and then it's finally the most inconvenient time for you, because that's the one that they want to make work for them. And, you know, there's no give and take whatsoever. And those are the things that I have to accept about it. You know, when I had to back up a little bit, because of the priests, ministers, and rabbis, I do a lot of business with all of those fellas. And I have equal respect for all of them, you know, because in my opinion, it's the Father of Light that presides over them all. So I don't judge such and such a God versus the other person's God, that kind of thing. Like, there's multitudes of them, you know, it's just a different perspective on it for me. Absolutely undisciplined creature. Like I said in the beginning, I experience all the symptoms of alcoholism on every single day, in varying degrees of intensity, but they're still there. But what I've learned through the 12 steps is that I know how to get to the solution. And usually it's saying, "I don't know. God, please help me. I'm letting go of it. Please take this from me." And one way or another, that's what I'm doing when I finally say, I gotta take a walk. I gotta get away from this. I've got to go and do something that I know that I can do right now, and I have to move from one thing to the other. When things start to agitate me, I have to leave them alone, because when I start twisting them around and start shoving my way in, that's when things get really bad in my life. And I don't want to do that today. But it feels really good to be here tonight, because step 11 is exactly where I need to be right now. Because that's where the blank spots are in my recovery right now, is taking the time to be quiet and refusing to listen to me. That's all I got.
Thanks. I like how it's preparing me for the fact that I'm definitely going to get agitated and doubtful. It doesn't say if. So just because I've gotten through this portion of the steps doesn't mean, like, I'm not going to suffer from untreated alcoholism ever again, and or just have, you know, just have a day. So it's preparing me for that when agitated or doubtful, this is what I'm to do. And that pause, that's something that never did before coming to AA. I thought, I perceived, and I reacted immediately, and I caused a lot of damage doing that, living my life. I was like a bull in a china shop, trying to forcing my way, my will, always in collision with other people and what they wanted. And so to discipline with this pause is really critical for somebody like me. And it's so funny how it says, constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, especially with my new job where I'm running the show and directing, and I love it. But I still can't control everything and everyone, and I have to be prepared to submit or surrender and be flexible, and those are things that I was not accustomed to doing before practicing this way of life. But, you know, at least the thought that I'm not running the show, like you said, Kenny, in the big picture. So even when things don't, my little plans and designs for life don't come to fruition the way that I envisioned, trusting that it's happening exactly the way that it's supposed to be happening, that's something that I have to remind myself of almost every day. And it helps kind of ease the fear of losing control. So getting in the habit of saying, yes, God, although I would really like for it to work out this way, that'd be great, thanks. But then adding, but if it be your will. And then the part when it says, we are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions. I always kind of glazed over the fact that the word excitement was in there and that it was first. And now I understand why that's so important. Somebody like me, when I get excited about something, you better watch out, because that's when I go full throttle into, like, we're going to make this happen. And then that's when I start making some foolish decisions. And so I think it's there for a reason. And the whole not tiring so easily anymore, if I can get into the habit of taking this pause and relaxing and taking it easy and just trying to learn how to go with the flow of life, and when I can do that, then I'm not exhausted all the time. And when I find myself feeling exhausted, I'm probably taking my will back in certain areas of my life. And then the last part, we alcoholics are undisciplined. So yeah, that's definitely me. And this action part of the step 11 is the way for me to acquire some discipline in my life in a spiritual way. Yeah, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks very much, Kenny and Laura. At this time, we're going to pass the seventh tradition baskets. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, money outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And at this time, I'm going to ask, are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm John Alcoholics. District 8, District 12, we're going to have their annual picnic at the Bob's Park. Well, it's not Park. And it's just off Camping Grove Center Parkway. It's on the 29th, which is three and a half weeks from now. So plenty of good food, 50-50 raffles with the speaker, plenty of fun games, cornhole, and of course, what would a picnic be without farm fresh fried chicken?
Thank you. Any other AA-related announcements? Okay, I've got one. For this group, we're going to have a separate speaker Monday, August 24th. So the next two Mondays, if you come back, we're going to finish up our 12 steps. We'll be discussing 12 next Monday and the following Monday. And on the 24th, we're going to have a supper and a speaker. The supper starts at 6 o'clock. Potluck, bring a dish if you wish. And the speaker will be at 7 o'clock, Bob E. from Matthews, Virginia. And that'll be right here in this room, August 24th. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will home group members please raise your hand? So just grab one of us after the meeting if you're looking for a home group and would like to join. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days that would like to introduce themselves by their first name just so that we can get to know you and welcome you? Literature. We've got a table over here with literature. Books have a small price inside the cover. Pamphlets and things like that are for free. So please check out the table before you leave. And sponsorship. This is real important for our home group. We find that sponsorship is very important. So it's yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we're going to have Lygia and David. They'll be up here after the meeting, so if you have any questions on what sponsorship is, please feel free to speak with one of them after the meeting. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. And this meeting is recorded, and our upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And if you want to sign up on there, there's a place where you can sign up, and we'll send out emails when we have events here, whether it's our supper speaker or one of the little mini conferences that we have. So I'd like to thank our panel for sharing. If y'all have any thanks for all who participated and helped set up the church this evening. We encourage you to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. If you'd like to join us, we always go out to dinner after the meeting at Plaza del Sol. It's on 22nd Street in Colonial. It's a little Mexican restaurant. So come and join us. And I have, do I have a volunteer that's willing to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? Catherine?
Oh, hi.
Margot.
Margot.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer for those that are enjoying.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Oh.
Sorry.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Keep coming back.